In our faith, what we believe seems sometimes to be full of contradictions, what we believe as Christians. You know, one example is we believe that Jesus is fully human and fully divine. We can't quite get our minds wrapped around that. How can he be fully human and fully divine? It seems contradictory to us. We might be able to be able to figure out, oh, he was half human and half divine, 50-50. But we don't believe that. We believe that he is fully human and fully divine. Well, one of those contradictory beliefs is we're celebrating today, that, of course, is the Trinity, the Most Holy Trinity. The Trinity is the central element of our faith. It's the core of our faith. But it's also probably the most incomprehensible element of our faith, the doctrine, the teaching that is the hardest to wrap our minds around. Because we say that we believe in one God. We say that in the creed. But we also say that this God is made up of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We claim to be monotheist, one God, not polytheist, many God. We don't believe in separate gods. Instead, we believe in one God, the same God, but separate persons, three separate persons that are united as one God in this Trinity. This seems contradictory to us in our limited understanding. Unfortunately, due to sin, one of the effects of sin is that there are limits on our intellect and reason. We can't figure out things like the Trinity. This limit doesn't exist after death. After we die, this limit will be gone. We will no longer have to worry about it. But for now, we have to deal with the consequences of this limit. And that means we have to try to understand these divine mysteries. And I'm not talking about mysteries in the sense of Agatha Christie or somebody like that, where a whodunit and you have to solve who the killer was. This is a mystery in this sense, is a divine truth revealed by God that we cannot comprehend, that we cannot wrap our minds around, that we have to accept on faith. It is because these are mysteries that we have to find the words and phrases that best fit what we're trying to express, what we're trying to understand. This is why in the new translation of the Roman Missal that we just started with the Creed, we now use the word consubstantial, in substance with, is how it translates. Now, this is a word that is very technical, philosophical, theological. There's a lot of meaning to this one word, consubstantial. But it is a word that expresses best how God can be one God, three persons. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole explanation about substance and what that means and all that. Just suffice it to know that this word, in its very definition, best expresses what we believe about God as a Trinity much better than one in being that we used in the old translation of the Creed. Sometimes when we do talk about how to define something, when we're talking about defining the Trinity, it's easier to start by looking at errors that people have made coming to understand what we believe. You know, one such error is that there was a belief that there were three separate gods. There was God the Father, who was separate from God the Son, who is separate from God the Trinity, or God the Holy Spirit, just as we are separate from each other, completely separate. Now, this isn't the case. This is actually a heresy called Arianism that also stated that Jesus was the first created being by God the Father, but they are completely separate. This is why in the Creed we say, begotten, not made, that Jesus, this God the Son, was begotten, not made. Mormonism, by the way, falls into this heresy where they state that there are separate God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that's why Mormonism is not recognized as Christian, because it is truly not a Trinitarian belief. It does not believe in a Trinity as we understand it. Another error that still kind of crops up every once in a while is that there's one God, but that he has separate modes, separate roles, separate attributes of this one God. Almost like there's a God who has different masks, a God the Father mask, a God the Son mask, and a God the Holy Spirit masks. And he puts whichever mask on he needs to fulfill whatever role he needs to fulfill, whatever attributes he needs. This is an error called modalism. Modalism. And there, like I said, there are still groups to this day who believe this, that there's only the one God, and they don't believe in a trinity of God, that God is a trinity. So what do we believe? Well, to summarize what we believe, I'm going to look at the U.S. Catholic Catechism of Adults. I've talked about this book before. It's a wonderful guide for trying to understand the faith. Very simple explanations, at least as simple as you can get for something that is so beyond us as the Trinity. But the U.S. Catholic Catechism tells us that there are three truths to our belief of the Trinity, three truths of the faith about the Trinity. First, that the Trinity is one. We believe in one God. Each of the persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is fully God. They are a unity of persons in one divine nature. Secondly, we believe that the divine persons are distinct from each other. Father, Son, and Spirit are not three appearances or modes of God, but three identifiable persons, each fully God in a way distinct from the others. And then third of all, that the divine persons are in relation to each other. The distinction of each is understood only in reference to the others. The Father cannot be the Father without the Son, nor can the Son be the Son without the Father. The Holy Spirit is related to the Father and the Son who send him forth. Now, this is the part I think we can most understand on a natural level. We don't call someone a son unless they have parents, unless we're talking about their parents. We talk about, you know, this is the son of so-and-so. We understand that relationship between a father and a son. So we can understand that within the Trinity. But relationship is a key point within the Trinity, because we know that the Trinity is an eternal exchange of divine love. And we are destined to share in that divine love, because as St. Paul tells us in our second reading today, we have been adopted as children and heirs of God. We are to join in that divine love. In fact, what we call spending eternity sharing in that love, that divine love, heaven. Heaven is spending eternity immersed in the love of God. Now, we don't become part of the Trinity. Every person who dies and goes to heaven doesn't get attached to the Trinity. But the Trinity shares the love between the three persons with us for all eternity. This is a love beyond anything we can imagine here on earth. We get tastes, glimpses of this divine love anytime we receive the grace of God. The graces from God come down upon us. These graces are given to us to help us seek eternity in heaven, to help us seek to be immersed in that divine love. This seeking for heaven is our deepest instinct, that we are seeking God and we are seeking this divine love, this eternity with God. So today and each day of our lives, may we seek that divine love which is the unity of the three persons of the Trinity, and that divine love which our triune God wishes to share with us.